This is a time of year in which people are invested in so many different ways. It's really a time of wonder. If one really thinks about what we are celebrating, there's amazing contrast in all our culture, as you know. Christmas is not always in people's minds concerning Christ. It's really more concerning consumerism. That's the pulse that's taken. Buying is up, buying is down this year, whatever it might be. And yet all the hymns that we have sung and all the songs that we have sung today remind us of the fact that we are called to really wonder during this season. Augustine wrote this: God is an infinite circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. God truly is a God of wonder. And I just want us to take a few moments on this Christmas morning to be reminded of the God that we worship, the wonder of God. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40, a most wonderful chapter in so many ways. And we're going to break in at verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. For he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Will not walk and not be faint. What a great message from the prophet Isaiah. And he breaks God's reality down into several parts. First, the God that creates in verses 25 to 26. He says it's a solo act. Who will you compare me? There is nobody. It's a rhetorical question. There's no response. Who will you compare me? There are no other gods. The only gods that exist are in the minds of people. See, God has a sense of humor. For those of you who don't realize that, I feel sorry for you because you're missing out. Notice a little bit farther back in Isaiah 40, starting in verse 18. Again, Isaiah, being motivated by the Holy Spirit to write the things that God wants him to write, but yet using his own writing ability. He writes in verse 18, to whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, the craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fastens silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. That's called sarcasm. God knows how to use it and use it well to his benefit. As he contrasts the reality of what people do, they build an idol. He describes it from his context in his day. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. You look around the world, you see a lot of idols. There's lots of idols that are representing different. They didn't just appear by magic. Somebody made those idols and secured them to the stand that they're on. They had to do that because those idols have no power. They don't really exist. God's a solo act. Only him and he alone exists. He's not only a solo act, he's an artist. Notice verse 26. Artistic perfection is what God displays for us. as he describes the heavens, Isaiah. And I love this line, not one of them is missing. Even though we voted Pluto out of the solar system, God did not. Not one of them is missing. That's how incredible God is. Second of all, God is personal. Verse 27. There are no missing persons in God's reality. There are no little people, no little places before God. I like the bumper sticker that's been out for many years now. You've probably seen it. If you feel far away from God, who moved? It's not God. God's continually with us if we would just turn to Him. If we're believers in on a particular day, we want to just do our own thing. God's still with us, patiently waiting for us to come to our senses like the prodigal son and realize that the best place to be is home with Him. And so God is patient. There are no missing person. Everyone matters to God. Someone that was very close to me found themselves in a tough situation one time. It was as if God had forgotten them. They opened their Bible one morning and their eyes fell onto this verse. And comfort was found. Why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. This person realized that God was there even though they couldn't sense His presence. And it made an impact on this person. You may recognize that story because it's the story my wife has told. That was her experience. You see, there's no missing dreams either. There's no missing persons, no missing dreams. What's your cause? What's close to your heart? What's your desire? What do you want to do? What do you want to be? Whatever it is, it's not forgotten and it's not unimportant to God. What matters to you matters to God. Because we have to understand something, and it's really hard to understand because it's hard to believe. And what that is that God is really crazy about us. He really, really loves us. And we have a hard time receiving that because in our experience in this world, most of us, I would say, have experienced more rejection than acceptance and love. So it's hard to believe that, because it's not backed up by our life experience. We've been rejected. All of us have. But yet God is personal. God loves us. There are no missing persons and no missing dreams. Isaiah also communicates that God is eternal. Verse 28. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. There is no beginning or end with God. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get tired stewarding His creation. He is a relentless lover of all things. I love the line from the Apostle Paul in Romans 11:33. He writes, "O the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out." We will never exhaust God. Have you ever watched a television series that you really enjoyed? You really liked it. You enjoyed it. And then it came to the last episode of the series. And you were not happy because it ended. You didn't have that time where every Wednesday you look forward to watching that favorite show. And then it finally ended. The series was over. You remember how much fun it was to watch that? I can remember in high school reading The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. And as I read it and progressed, it was in three volumes at that time. I was progressing through the third volume. I found myself reading slower because I didn't want it to end. That happens. But what's great with God is we'll never exhaust Him. He
is creative. He is insightful. He is loving. He is fun. I can take the time. I can do a sermon series that I have in the past called God Loves a Party. It's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. You can't deny it. Heaven is going to be far more outside the envelope than we think it's going to be. You've got to prepare for that. Because God loves to be with us. He is eternal. And finally, God is an equipper. Verse 29 to 31, he's an equipper. He's aware of needs. It says he gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. He's aware of our needs. He's able to meet the need of the moment. He enables us to hang in there. To stay that one moment longer. You know, the person that demonstrates courage is that person that stays about 2 or 3 minutes longer than everyone else. God is aware of our needs. He's an equipper. He's going to give strength. He's going to increase power. If we're leaning on Him, He's going to increase our endurance. I've read of so many people throughout history who were in horrible situations. Horrible context of life. And they were able to patiently weather those challenges, those storms. Because they were resting in God. They were trusting in Him. Totally. I love the line out of Philippians where Paul's writing to the Philippians and he says basically, I'm not sure which is better, to go be with God or stay with you. I mean, he's just saying, well, what should I just go ahead and die? Or should I really work at trying to stay here and help you? And fortunately for them, he decides, no, I'm going to try to stay here and help you. I love that attitude. Because he knows God's an equipper. He's going to equip Paul to do whatever is necessary at that moment. He grants us ultimate victory. He says, ultimate victory is ours. The ultimate promise is given here. In verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, rest in the Lord, lean into the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. There will be people that in the course of trying times exhibit a reality or a response to it that's really unnatural. It's spiritual. One isn't able to do that in their own strength. He gives us what we need to be unbroken in this life. As the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Through our knowledge of Him. You see, not all people have a knowledge of Him. They might have a reference to Him. They might take His name in vain. They may not even think of Him. People don't have a knowledge of Him. Peter says, His divine power has given everything to us, everything for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. It doesn't come naturally. I don't have those things naturally. In and of myself, they come to me and are available to me and to everyone who has a knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ, that divine power is not in your availability. It's not at your fingertips. For us as believers, it is. And I'm sure the thing that grieves God's heart are the times when we don't utilize the life and the godliness He's given in our life. God is an equipper. He's always looking to equip us. He says, we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. He will strengthen us because God is an equipper. So we celebrate on this day the beginning of God's work to ensure our eternal relationship with Him. This is the story we're to tell the world. that the God of wonder is knowable in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And just like any other relationship, that relationship is as healthy as we nurture it to be. Jesus, as one person wrote, is a gentleman. And he knocks on the door of our heart, but won't enter unless he's invited in. And so it is today. And every day, as believers, we invite Jesus to be Lord of our life. He gives us the freedom to be our own person or to be our own person in him. We get to choose. For those who are outside of Christ, their one choice is the one that they need to consider. To choose to bow before Jesus Christ, ask him into their life to be their Lord and Savior. And that begins the great experience of knowing his divine power within us. I trust that on this Christmas, we can be thankful for the gifts that we're given from friends and relatives, but we'll also be very thankful for the greatest gift given to us, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in him, as Paul writes, everything is yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the prophet Isaiah and how he put down his great word for you. And Lord, help us to realize that we have been given this great gift. Thank you for this day. May we honor you with it, and may we be thankful for all the blessings and encouragements we receive. We pray in Jesus' name.